Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you, you always have something for us. And we pray we would receive your word now and that it would do its work in our hearts and change us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Acts chapter 2, beginning from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marvelled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As you read through the book of Acts, you see the Christians living at a different level, don't you? You see them moving from one place to another. You see them performing miracles. You see them seeing many people saved in an instant. You see there on the day of Pentecost, you see 3,000 come to the Lord from that one day. You find at the end of the chapter, soon afterwards they see 5,000 come to the Lord as a result of a healing. And we may look at those days, those things that are recorded, and say, I wish that that was our experience. You know, we preach the gospel here on a Sunday evening and the teenagers come in. It's wonderful to have, you know, a number of rows often of unsaved teenagers, the hooligans from the town here in the meeting and hearing the gospel. And that's wonderful. But it's not 3,000 people getting saved in one day, is it? It's not 5,000. It's not that we are having to look for room to house everyone and sort of just saying, trying to appoint some leaders to cope with these vast numbers of people. We're not having these multiple healings. We're not having people sitting down in the street hoping that the shadow of one of us will fall upon them, that they might suddenly be healed. That's not happening here at the moment. And so we may ask, what is necessary for that to come about? If that is our desire, we say, well, perhaps we would say, I'll do anything for that to come about. But I wonder if we would actually be willing to face up to what it takes for that to come about. Because you notice that in the passage from Joel that we read at the end, it has this description of the outpouring of the Spirit, the people prophesying and having visions, and the Holy Spirit being poured out. But it also says at that time that she shall show wonders, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke, that the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it's just giving a picture, a suggestion of the conditions that will come upon the church, the people of God, the whole situation, in order for the conditions to be right, for the power of God to be seen in that way. And you see, throughout history, that it was when people were under the greatest pressure, when they were in the time of greatest difficulty, that the power of God was seen. And you look through Old Testament stories, you look at Elijah, and there he is, up against the prophets of Baal, and it seems most of Israel has turned away from God. That's when the fire of God came down from heaven and an incredible miracle was done. You think of that, and the altar and the sacrifice and the water of all of it, and all these enemies of God, the prophets of Baal. But it was when everything was under pressure, when everything was difficult, that the fire of God came from heaven and the whole situation changed and God's name was vindicated. And so you see that there's a kind of a pressure that has to come upon the people of God in order for the miracles to take place, in order for the power of God to be seen. You see the same thing in the book of Daniel. And they were in the most desperate situation there in the book of Daniel. Those young men had been plucked from their own land. They'd been in their own land of Judah. Wonderful, lovely young men who were faithful to the Lord. And they're taken out of their own country, taken away from their families, made into eunuchs. No future as far as this earth is concerned. No ability ever to have a family of their own. Slaves to the king there in the most terrible situation. But it's within that situation. It's within that environment that the power of God is seen. And that's why we are reading of the stories of what happened even now, because they were under so much pressure and they had to depend upon God because their lives were under so much pressure. And you see, if we are not forced to depend upon God, we will not see those things happen in our own lives. You see, as we just go along, if everything is easy, if the money is flowing in, if everything is good in society, there are no challenges, we are not forced to depend on God. We rely on our money. We just float through life, and we're not serious, as the word came earlier. But as soon as pressure starts to come upon us, then we have to depend upon God. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it like this, but I've often spoken before that it was amazing that Daniel and the young men, they were just so faithful to God, even though the situation was so bad. You know, all that had happened, and yet Daniel immediately says, no, we can't eat the king's food. We can't eat the defiled food from the king's table. We've got to do things differently. And I've preached before, they stayed faithful in spite of it. But I've seen that it's the other way around. They stayed faithful to God because that's all they had. Everything had been taken away and they were in that situation. They say, we've got to stay close to God because we've got absolutely nothing left. We've got no future. We've got no family. We've got no possessions. We have absolutely nothing. If we don't stay close to God, we are absolutely shot through. So within that situation, they were forced to cling to God. And as a result, once again, God did those miracles. God gave them favor in the sight of the king, and they looked better than all the other young people who were eating the false food. And when the three were thrown in the fiery furnace, God delivered them miraculously, and the presence of Jesus himself, was seen there even by the king, and that these wicked kings seem to be getting converted as a result of what's happening. The incredible power of God, but the incredible power of God is only seen as these young people are forced upon God. They're in the most dire situations, and in those dire situations, there's a power of God that is seen. As they are forced to a fresh level of faithfulness, they are more dependent, and the power of God is seen. In the book of Hosea, it says in chapter 10 and verse 12, famous revival verse. Sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness. Read of the sending of the former rain and the latter rain. And so he speaks about the breaking up of the fallow ground. And I was out walking in fields the other side of Aylesbury, and I was seeing a plough at work, and you've got this hard ground, and it's something that's pretty hard at the moment. And the plough was going across, and it was ploughing up and turning it over and making the ground fit for something fruitful to come out, and for seed to be sown and the land to be productive again. And he says to us to break up your fallow ground. But you see, the Lord also plays a part in that. That the Lord will, in order to get us into the place where we need to be, he will enter into our lives to break up the fallow ground. He will enter into our lives to break up our complacency. And perhaps the church in the West has become so complacent in recent years. Because we're rich, we've got a welfare state in this country. So much is easy. No challenges, no persecution. And not dependent upon the Lord, but dependent upon what we have. And then the Lord comes and he says, I've got to break up your fallow ground. I've got to start to break you so that you're no longer depending upon these things. And he says, I want to see my power displayed amongst you. I want to do new things amongst you. But it can't happen unless I break up the fallow ground. And as we think about how there was the former rain, and then it speaks of the latter rain. The former rain, I believe, was in the time of Pentecost. It was the time of the apostles. There was a great outpouring of the Spirit in those days. And God came down, and the miracles were performed. But you see, we're coming close to the time of the Lord's return. And the Bible promises that there is going to be a latter rain, a time when the Holy Spirit is poured out again. And that has really been happening in the last 100 years, as there's been the Pentecostal revival and the move of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit has moved across the world, and especially in Pentecostal terms in Africa and Latin America, first of all, particularly in our countries. But as we come to the end, we've got to get back to how they were in the book of Acts. We have got to get back into the place where we are living like they were in the book of Acts, where they are seeing miracles continually, where they're seeing the power of God continually, where they're seeing healings continually. But we won't get back into that place until the conditions for us return to how they were in the book of Acts. And if you look at what they were suffering, the country, Judea was overrun by the Romans. The Romans were in power. That would have been like, you know, Nazi Germany coming and overtaking us. Maybe, you know, Russia can invade us. I don't know. But that's what it was like for them. The Christians, they were persecuted by the Jews. They were persecuted by the Gentiles. They were under continual persecution. They didn't have money. You remember Peter and John at the beautiful gate? They didn't have money to help them. They were a poor people. When the Apostle Paul, when he was ministering, he had to just, he said, I know what it is to be have plenty. I know what it is to be poor, in want. He had to mend tents in order to keep himself going. And so they were continually on the move. They were continually facing challenges. But you know, the incredible thing is that the challenges that they faced brought them a freedom. It brought them a freedom because they were no longer tied up with the things of the world. And as soon as they started to get released from the things of the world, then the power of God was seen amongst them. You see, while we're trying to work everything out, whilst we're trying to find enough money and work out what we're doing with money and think, well, this is how I'm planning, this is how I'm planning for the future, and working everything out according to our strength, it doesn't give God the freedom to work. But when we are entirely abandoned upon God, then God can do something with us. And so it says, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I wonder, don't we have almost a shame that we are not being used more in the power of God? Do you not have, a sense of shame that we're not being used continually in healings and in words of knowledge? And yet, as God starts to bring pressure upon our lives, and we start to go through these difficulties, suddenly that is going to be the result of the pressure. As the pressure comes on our lives, and this year we've gone through so many difficulties, and perhaps we've got financial challenges, and we've got the whole business of before we weren't able to meet together, maybe that's going to come back. But you see, it's in the midst of that climate that God is going to move. And we mustn't see that it's a mistake. We mustn't see that this is something that we need to escape from. But see that these are the very conditions that God has to bring in if his people are going to move in power again. And you see, what our great desire should be is not that we're living comfortable lives, not that we're financially secure, not that we have what we want, but that God's power is seen and God's kingdom is extended. Hallelujah. See, that was the whole teaching of the Lord Jesus. Over and over again, he was trying to get people out of living according to this world. You know, the Apostle John says, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. A friendship with the world is enmity with God. And yet, as Christians, we're so easily tied into this world and where we're living and our money and how we look and getting our houses nice or whatever it is, and we're tied up, and we don't have the freedom to move in the power of God because we're tied up by this world. And yet, the Lord Jesus continually was trying to teach us that this, our kingdom is not of this world. This is not where our interest is meant to lie. Our one interest in life is to see God move in power, in saving people's souls, in delivering them, bringing spiritual deliverance. And, you know, what we saw on Friday night of the terrible bondage that these people are in. The kids, their behaviour is nothing compared with the behaviour of the parents. The parents, they're spending their evenings drunk, they're not grateful, but only too glad perhaps that there's someone who will look after their kids in the evening while they're out getting drunk. Just abominable language and so horrible. But yet they need deliverance. And that deliverance can only come when the power of God comes. No words of ours, no kindness can break through to them. It has to be the power of God. And so we need these conditions that will free us up from the things of this world in order that the power of God can flow through us to touch these people who are in need. And you know, the worse the behavior of a person, the more they're in need. I found this with the various homeless people and drug addicts and people who have lived with me. And they're tough to live with. Their behavior is so bad, but it's if someone's behavior is bad, it's because they're in so much need. Their character has been destroyed from years of sin and so many different things in this world. And these people need not correction and judgment, but they need the power of God to come and set them free, as we saw in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And so in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is speaking about these things. And verse 15, someone's come to him and said, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. The man's not getting his share of the inheritance, and he's complaining to Jesus. Jesus says, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. That's desiring more and more stuff. Desiring things that someone else has. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's not what our life is about. That's not what your life consists of. What the stuff you've got, this rubbish that's in this world that's just going to be burnt up one day, that's not what your life consists of. But the question is whether we are rich toward God. Then verse 22, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat or food, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than fowls? He's speaking about the ravens, and they have freedom, don't they? They're not planning for the future. They fly around, and oh, there's some food. Here's something else. They fly around, they find what they need. There's a freedom. And he's saying, that's how I want you to be. Not burdened with the things of this world, but free. And so he says to them, rather seek ye the kingdom of God, verse 31, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, God will provide for you if you seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, I want you to be moving out in power. I want you to be doing the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. The things that pertain to the kingdom of this earth are about getting money, about getting rich, being successful in this world, about being popular, amassing your own empire, amassing your own kingdom. That's this world. But the things of the kingdom of God are seeing God move in power, seeing people saved, people delivered. And so he says, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he says, if you've got something, sell it, give the money away. I will then provide for you, and you will be free from this earth, and you will have the power that I've always wanted you to have. And so as you look through the book of Acts, you see God is at work continually to bring these people down, to break them, to stop them having any ability to trust in the things of this earth. See how God had to move in Paul's life. And Paul was a proud man, a great man, a man who was widely respected as a Pharisee. But then when he saved, he said this in Philippians 3 and verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. These things he was hanging on to that he thought before. He said, as for Christ, they're loss. They're going to hold me back. They're going to cause problems. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. And then he says, and the power of his resurrection, that's the power, and he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Yes, going through sufferings, we find in 2 Corinthians, he goes through the sufferings that he had to go through, whether it was shipwreck or being beaten or being stoned and coming close to death. Everything to bring him to a place where he was continually dependent upon the Lord. And exactly the same with the in the book of Acts. We find in Acts chapter 5 that the apostles are arrested by the Jews, and they're imprisoned. And then it says, but they can't really get to grips with anything they've actually done wrong. And then verse 40, it says, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, having imprisoned them, they called them to them, spoke to them, and when they had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And of course they don't listen, they continue speaking in the name of Jesus. But just for a moment, let's get inside what happened, because We read this as history, we read it as a story, and there can be a certain detachment from the truth of it, from the reality of that. But just imagine if that was what was happening in Winslow today. That those of us who are preaching Jesus week by week are arrested for doing that. Brought into a prison, they can't actually put their finger on anything specifically we've done wrong. So they beat us and they let us go. And it says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And we see what a challenging time they were beaten. How many of us would actually want to be beaten? That they rejoiced in being beaten. They were happy to be beaten because they were happy to suffer for the name of the Lord. But you see, that those were the conditions that were vital for the power of God to move. And if that is our desire in our day, that we want to see God move, we pray in this church for revival, we pray for an awakening, we pray for such an outpouring of the Spirit that numerous people would get saved, that there would be a great stirring, a great sweeping of the Spirit across Winslow, and numerous people would come into the kingdom of God. But I wonder, are we willing to go through the conditions that are going to cause that to come about? But you see, we don't really have a choice. Just as in the case of Daniel and his friends, they were brought into that. And their choice were they going to be faithful and know the Lord taking care of them and see the power of God? They only had to respond and stay faithful within that situation. And so as we come towards a close, we need to understand the day that we're living in. We're right towards the end, aren't we? We're right in the last days. These crazy things that are happening of the restrictions from coronavirus, how much of it's real, how much of it is governments working together to bring some control. I don't know. I don't know where it all lies. But this I know, the crazy things that are happening in our world at the moment are presaging the last days. That we're right close to the Lord Jesus coming back. And so he is creating these conditions that his church, his bride, would rise up in power and be the church was always created to be, always called to be. That church in the book of Acts, that's what he's bringing us back to. And we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should count ourselves blessed. We should rejoice that we are worthy to live in this day when God wants to move in power, when God is doing this final great move of his Spirit. And it's only going to come within the realm of persecution. It's only going to come in these conditions that are so challenging. And whether you're going to face some tremendous financial upheaval, whether you're going to lose all your money, so you have to depend upon God moment by moment for enough money to get by, whether you're going to suffer other losses, whether we're going to suffer tremendous persecution, and we just had the slightest smell of that kind of thing on Friday evening, whether we're going to go through all this, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we need to see that this is what God is doing. There's going to be a final expression of God's power in this last day. And God has to bring the conditions about. He has to put us on under pressure. He has to set us free from the things of this world. He's got to make things so tough for us that we can no longer depend on the things we've been depending upon. The things of our own strength, our own resources. But he's going to bring us down to nothing so we're entirely abandoned upon the Lord. Till we cast ourselves upon the Lord. As Peter says, that we're to cast our cares upon him. Because he cares for us. God has got to bring us to the place where we have no choice. Where we have no choice. Where I say, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through today, let alone this week. I have no ideas. I have no plans. I have no resources left. But I'm trusting in you because you are God. You're the God who created everything. You're the God who's in control. You can do anything. And I have to depend upon you for a miracle today. Perhaps we'll come to the place where we're dependent upon him for miracles day by day. Where we have to be seeing miracles of healing simply to survive as a church. Because if the power of God is not seen in a daily basis in terms of ministry, it's going to be so tough that no one's going to be willing to turn to the Lord. And that's how it was in the book of Acts. And so let us be a people who are mindful of the time and awake to what God is doing. And every time the pressure comes into our lives and we're finding it tough, see that as something that is releasing the power of God. You know, you can crack rock, and as you crack the rock, the gas escapes and it's free, and you can use that gas for things. I don't want to be controversial, but there's an escape when there's a breaking, and God wants to break us so that our spirit is free. And perhaps today we've been so tied down, just living in such a pedestrian way, living according to what we see. I've got money in the bank, I've got this, that and the other, and that's how we've been living. But God says, I want to bring you back, and so you're living like in the book of Acts, and there's a power in your preaching, there's a power in your living, you're moving in the gifts of the Spirit. So God says, I want to break you so your spirit is free. And he just wants us to respond to that and say, see what he's doing. Say, yes, God, that's what I want to. I want to live like in the book of Acts and see your power in my life. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, we praise you for all the power that was in the Lord Jesus, that as he walked, he was continually ministering in power and healing and delivering because he was wholly yielded to you, his Father. He was a man who walks in brokenness before you, not affected by the things of this world, saying, I have nowhere to lay my head. I have no home of my own. And trusting you, dependent upon you, the Father, continually as he walked this earth. And we pray, Lord God, that you would do this miracle of grace within our hearts, that we might be a people who walk in power, who are not dependent upon ourselves and upon the things we see or the things that we have, but a people wholly yielded to you. And we pray that in these last days before the Lord Jesus returns, that we would be a people living in power, the church that you called us to be, a people who shine forth in power, a church that shines brightly, the church that is living above the level that the world is living in, a people of another kind who glorify your name because they walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. Work this in us. Cause us, as we go through the difficulties, just to be led to trust you more and more and to rejoice in you and to see how you are setting us free, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.